everybody, welcome to the Lion's Roar podcast. This is designed for entrepreneurs, Christian pioneers who need a little bit of help and inspiration in their journey. And today we are joined by two very special guests. Please welcome Gary Spicer, Executive Director of ITD, and Shell Peris, who is the leader of the Lions. Welcome, you two. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Fantastic.
Yep, great to be here. Great to see the audience. Well, I can't see them, can I? But I can hear them.
Well, we've been talking about some really great topics on this podcast, but today we want to talk about managing growth. And I want to hear your experiences of growth. And how do you manage from just being like a solopreneur, just by yourself, an entrepreneur? How do you grow your business? And how do you, you know, when you're growing to deeper levels, higher levels, how do you manage that growth? Who wants to start?
I think, first of all, managing growth is, first of all, I need to want growth. I think there's many people that have like a dream, they want growth, but deep in their hearts are not ready to pay the price. And growth is expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive in sacrifice. It's expensive in surgery that God does on us. And sometimes lots of people don't see that. They hear the, I guess, the expressive ideas, the dreams, and they get really excited about that. But I think the first thing everyone has to understand is, do I want it? And I'm ready to pay the price personally for it.
Yeah.
I think that's really important before you even manage it. That's a fundamental thing, because on the journey of growth, you're going to have some challenges that you've got to remind yourself that, one, God wanted this, and two, you wanted it too. And if that partnership isn't together, we have a bit of a moan with God, or we have pity days, you know, self-pity days and things like that. And those days are fine, but when you're trying to lead others as well, you know, how we lead affects others. Mm. And so I think managing growth, first of all, is we've got to want it and pay the price. Secondly, I think managing growth is we've got to understand what got us this far won't get us to the next stage. However much it's gone well, we're going to have to restructure. We may have to even reposition people or bring new people in, whether they be volunteers or whatever. Can they go to the next level? Can they have some surgery going on with God? Or are they just in it for the ride? And I think it's really important, first of all, that when we get ourselves sorted, and then we have to bring an expectation which is larger on the people that we have or reposition. So managing growth is doing a little bit of strategic surgery first before we ever get moving.
And how do you know that you're ready for growth? How do you know that? Do you just feel it, or do you, you know, how do you feel that you're ready for the next stage?
I think there's two things in that. I think that as a leader and an entrepreneur, you're kind of always ready for growth. You always want to see your project or your business or your charity go to that next level. But I think you've got to be ready for the process. I think you've got to be ready for, like Gary says, what comes with that. You know, a lot of leaders and entrepreneurs want it now, you know, so they want this seed of an idea to become this big oak tree right from the word go. And it doesn't work like that. And it can't work like that, because we miss out so much of the journey. If we're always looking for that next peak rather than wanting to take the journey into the valley and up to that next peak, we're going to miss out on so much stuff that God wants to teach us personally, stuff that God wants to teach us professionally. You know, it's in those moments of hardship and process and, you know, just taking the next step all the time. That's the bit where we really grow and learn.
And that's really important, isn't it, that journey?
Yeah, it is. And I think we've got to remember, when we say we want growth and ready to step out for it, you know, we've got to take our shovel with us, not just our compass.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people go, well, you know, show me the next step, God, you know, and we're like looking at the compass of strategy. But actually, we're going to have to take a shovel with us, because we've got to dig before we climb.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that is a bit of a shock sometimes to people. They think we've got this far, the next stage is going to be easy. I've never found the next stage easy. I've had to dig deeper to get to the next level. And I think people, you know, listening today really need to understand that it's not them in isolation that dig in. We all have to dig if we want to go higher.
Yeah, because you need that. You need that memory of, hang on a minute, I've dealt with something like this before. I've been through something like this before. So this new challenge that's before me, actually, I know how to deal with that challenge because I've dealt with previous challenges.
Mm.
And if you don't deal with the previous challenges, you can't deal with what's in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people talk about you know, kind of mental health and where people are at in terms of, you know, when they go to university and all of a sudden, you know, they're on their own and, you know, they've got this kind of big wide world in front of them. And if they've had times before they get to that stage where they've gone through moments of trial and challenge and they've had to dig deep to get through things, there's so much more chance of them getting through those bigger life challenges because they've been in similar places before. Yeah. And it's like that in business, you know, you have to... You have to have been somewhere to be able to remember that, know how you dealt with it, and apply some of what you learned in that process to the challenge that you're facing.
I think the great biblical picture is David himself. You know, we all talk about in Sunday school David and Goliath.
Yeah.
We never talk about David and the bear and David and the lion. But actually, they came before Goliath. Oh. And I think there's a whole process here that God takes us on, you know, agreeing with what Shell says for a change. that actually, it's kind of like, you know, hang on a minute, we're going for Goliath, but have we conquered the bear and have we conquered the lion? Mm. And it's exactly what Shell says, you know, that builds confidence and courage for the next stage. So we can't just suddenly wake up one day and go, I'm going bigger and I'm going better. I think we have to invite God into our lives to help grow us. And then we reminded of the past battles, as Shell says. And I think Jesus, you know, God did that with many Bible characters. Said, you know, we're going to go here, but we've got to go here first.
Fantastic. Wouldn't it be brilliant if we could kind of say to God, do you know what? I think I'm ready for this next phase of growth, God, but what is it that you need to do in me first to get me ready for that? You know, that I think that would be a wonderful prayer, a wonderful conversation.
It's a very dangerous invite, that is, Shell.
It's a very dangerous invite, you know, but it is that whole thing I think we've talked about before, you know, never let your gifting take you where your character can't keep you. You know, never let yourself go to a place in your gifting and in your almost outward working where your character isn't able to take you because you'll get there and you'll fall. You know, you've got to have that underpinning. You've got to have that foundation to be able to go to that next level.
Yeah, and I think us as entrepreneurs, we're all entrepreneurs here, we're just full of so many great ideas all the time, and so you just want to run the race and run it faster. And idea after idea you just want to throw yourself into. But how do you make sure that your organization and your team are ready for it? You might be ready for it. How do you prepare them?
Well, I think you've got to first of all announce where you believe you're going, the growth. I think you have to announce the cost with that as well, what you see. And, you know, kind of like say, you know, we're going to go on a journey of being stretched ourselves before we go to the next level, you know. And I think it's an invitation for God and for the situation to test us and not be surprised when, you know, we might be working harder than we were before, you know. But there is a sense, isn't there? We've got to work smarter, not just harder. So, you know, God wants us to burn on, not burn out. And I think that's really important. But we have perhaps got to change the way we work to achieve another goal. And I think you prepare your team, you invite them into it, you paint the cost. And in that, some may not come with you. Or some might go, I don't want to go there. I like it where we are. And you have to make some tough decisions then in leadership, because if people say, this is where I like it, you know, I'm happy here. You know you're going to have a restriction or an obstacle in the future when the cost comes. And so as a leader, you've got to be very skillful and understand that, and then be creative in your thinking of how you can either reposition a person, or it may be time for a person to leave, you know, for their sake, not just ours. And so I think you know, establishing the foundation for the next level always takes longer than we want it to. You know, we want to see the mountain, like the volcano come out of the sea, you know, we want to see that happen. But actually there's so much has to go on behind. And I think that's where a leader can lose themselves, can become weary in doing good. And I think we've got to be very strong and get strong people around us so that when we're building foundations, you also get the doubters, you know, you think about Noah and the ark, you know, there he was building, there's no rain. No one had ever seen rain. They just seemed due. So the point is, there were scoffers. I think we've got to warn our team as well as we warn ourselves. There'll be a few scoffers on the way. You know, have a heart of resilience, but not a hard heart. And I think, you know, you've got to be tough, but you haven't got to be hard. And I think that's something we've got to try and develop in ourselves and our team.
So, Shell, you've had experience of this, haven't you? Because you've had a massive growth recently in your company, your organisation, your charity. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
So 7 years ago, I set up a charity to house a project called Alive. And Alive is all about helping children and families to connect with God through large events and gatherings. And we ran that charity for 7 years. We did a number of big events. And then in 2003, we did a massive event for 9,000 children.
Wow.
And so we'd gone from running events for like 1,000 people to all of a sudden running an event for 9,000 people.
Yeah.
And what came with that was a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
But also a much, much wider audience, because 1,000 people come to an event and then go home and tell people about it. That's one thing. But then 9,000 people come to an event and all of a sudden it starts to make waves.
Yeah.
And I was really excited, you know, kind of really excited that we'd seen that amount of growth in that time. And in the summer after that event, I'd really felt God leading me to John 12, 24, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, what are you trying to say to me through this? Anyway, to cut a long story short, I had this sense of God saying, you need to let alive die, because actually it needs to come under something bigger so that it can grow to everything that God wants it to be. And so there was a number of things that happened in that. The first was I had to grapple as a leader with, hang on a minute, alive's my baby.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm having to give this up. You know, I feel like I'm having to let something die.
Mm.
And that was a whole process that God took me on personally, in terms of realizing that A, it's not mine, it's God's. But also, you know, that in order for it to grow and be bigger than it was at that time, it needed to come under something bigger, mm-hmm. which meant that I had less say almost over it. So that was one process that God took me on. But then when we got to that point, I was thinking, well, what does this look like? You know, there was lots of uncertainty attached to that growth as well. And this is where Gary comes in, actually, because we had we were having a normal meeting about lions. And Gary said, how's Alive going, Shell? And I was like, yeah, it's great. We've just done this big event with 9,000 people. I said, but I really feel like God's saying, I've got to lay it down because it needs to come under something bigger so it can grow. And, you know, we were chatting and then Gary said, well, why doesn't it come under ITD? Mm-hmm. Imagine the day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I just thought, oh my goodness, I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen that at all. But it was like God presented this opportunity for Alive to become part of Imagine the Day.
Mm.
And since that's happened, I think, fair to say, isn't it, the growth that we've seen in Alive has been absolutely unbelievable. And what I've learned is that I've had to move from a position of almost doing everything to a position of overseeing everything and managing team and managing people in order to facilitate that growth, which as a leader is a different mentality. So part of me has felt like it's been a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
But it's been the most amazing process, because I've seen what happens when God says something, takes something, and then grows something.
So how did the people in your team that was with you in your first stage of charity, how did they adapt? Or are they still with you on the journey? Or how has that been for them?
Well, I've actually got a new team. So part of it moving to ITD was that I got a new team. You know, it was kind of me and the trustees initially.
Yeah.
And obviously because Alive was part of a charity and that charity had to close so that Alive could come under Imagine the Day, the trustees that were with me for that 7 years are obviously no longer trustees.
Yeah.
And it came to Imagine the Day and I've got a new team now, which has been amazing.
So were they behind that? Were they supportive? Or?
Yeah, they were really supportive, actually. I think we had a real sense that it was God. It had to be God for it to happen in the way that it happened. But, you know, it was painful at times. It was really painful at times. It was challenging at times. It was uncertain at times. There was an element of risk in it. You know, there was risk for me. There was risk for Imagine the Day. There was risk for everybody, really.
Yeah.
But we knew that God was asking us to do it.
Yeah.
And we knew that in that obedience and in obeying what God was saying, that actually something wonderful.
Yeah.
I think there's a really important point here that needs to be made, you know. Shell talks about, first of all, you've got to let something die and let go. Secondly is you can't lead the way you've been leading if you want some growth.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that whole thing, like someone asked me the other week, they said, you know, oh, you've got so much authority and power. You can say what you want into different projects. And I say, I don't lead them. I oversee them.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, I could do what that person said. But once you start really, dappling too much with leaders that you've released, it becomes what I call micromanagement rather than macromanagement. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that has to change in me as a leader. If I want growth and want to manage that, first of all, I've got to manage me, that now I'm macromanaging, not micromanaging. I'm a developer, not a doer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm an encourager rather than just trying to control everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big change in leadership. So sometimes when we say we want to grow, we have to really manage ourselves. And people have to see how we change.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they have to see that change, not just hear it in a lecture from the leader.
Yeah.
And I think how we change our leadership and people see we're making adjustments, give them encouragement that they can make that. So, you know, in one way I do lead, but in another way I oversee more than I lead.
Yeah.
And also I don't do as much as I did, but I develop more than I ever developed. And I think that's how you get multiplication and growth within a team.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you've just done, isn't it, Cheryl?
Yeah,
so exactly. Now you're overseeing.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Because, you know, you're so used to doing.
Yeah.
And to not have that control anymore on not doing it. How does it feel?
I've actually felt relief.
Right.
You know, so it had got to a point where it was getting bigger and I was doing everything and I'm thinking, I can't carry on like this. You know, this is taking too much of me.
Yeah.
And so actually I do feel a real sense of release in that. And I felt released actually to be doing what it is that God's called me to do. I feel in my zone more than I ever have done.
Right.
And I think some of that, it was painful. It was painful to have to let something die and let something go. But I think in that step of obedience in doing what it is that God asked me to do, I feel like, you know, his ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. And I'm only going to be able to take something so far because I'm limited in the way that I think, whereas God isn't, you know. And so having new people join the team who bring so much kind of wisdom and so much creativity and so many different things to what I bring is a release.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as you grow something, the idea is to get bigger people around you.
Yeah.
And just hear me right here, I'm not talking about big and small people, but there are people that need to be directed. But when you go to a next level, they need to be self-starters themselves and they need to be initiative takers. Now, sometimes they don't do it the way we want it to do it.
Yeah.
And we then got to say, which mountain do we die on and which one we don't, in the sense of confrontation or challenge? And that's a wisdom that the level going up, the leader needs. Mm-hmm. And we have to be really secure in ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you can imagine working with Shell, I've got to be really secure in myself. well, because she's a strong leader, she's challenging, she challenges my decisions. But in the midst of all that, what you have to have when you've got people like that on a team, you've got to have them that trust your heart to discern your mind, right?
Yeah.
And the same with me, say to Shell or anyone else, I've got to know, I haven't got a clue why she's doing it that way. But actually, I trust her heart and I'll let her go so far. Now, if she's going to jump off a cliff, I'll stop her, obviously. Yeah. But the issue is you've got to let big leaders develop things themselves, bring their own ideas to the game and let them have a go. Mm. And if they come to the table and you're the leader and they go, look, this is the way I want to do it. And you're there thinking, I am not sure. You throw out suggestions, but you don't become directive at that point.
Mm.
And I think it's, whereas when you're leading at a lower level, you're directive. You know, I got three kids, okay. When they were babies, I was their director. Told them, yes, no, you don't do that, you don't do this. A little bit of correction every so often, okay?
Yeah.
They were good kids. But then when they got to like their teenagers, I needed to be their guider. You know, now, why don't you think about this?
Yeah.
Suggestion rather than direction, yeah?
Yeah.
And then the final thing is, you know, when they obviously become adults, leave home, I'm their advisor. They call me when they want some advice.
Right, okay.
Now, as a parent, I've got a change in that. So it's saying kids are changing. But as a parent, if I'm trying to be the director to a 20-year-old, we're going to have some conflict.
Yeah.
We're going to have some conflict with a teenager. And all I'm saying there as a kind of like an examination there is that when we're leading stronger leaders, we can't be the director all the time.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to be the director, let's have less skilled, lower level leaders.
Mm.
And then you're in control all the time, mm-hmm. but yeah. you're not going to get to the level you want to get because you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. There's also another really key thing actually in that story is that some people have always said to me, Shell, you're unemployable.
Like, her husband told me that.
It's true. You're unemployable. Like, you know, you can't work for anybody. Because I am a leader and I like, you know, I like things done a certain way. I have a certain level of standards and, you know, as most leaders do. And when we were exploring Alive, coming under Imagine the Day, one of the first questions I asked myself was, can I come under Gary's leadership?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, if I can't, this isn't going to work. You know, and I think, you know, we share a lot of the same values, a lot of the same similar ways of doing things, share, you know, similar visions. And I just thought, actually, I think I can do this. But mm-hmm. God's taught me a lot in that, you know, from moving to a place where I was the one making the decisions on everything to all of a sudden kind of going to Gary and saying, actually, I'm thinking of doing this. Yeah. What does this look like? Yeah. What do we think about this? You know, there's been moments where
There's been quite a few moments. I don't want anybody listening today to think there hasn't been quite a few moments.
It's a journey.
But the issue is you've got to trust each other on the journey.
Yeah.
Both. You know, okay, Shell says, you know, can she come under the leash of myself? But then I've got to make sure that I honour her in what God's put into her and her as a leader.
Mm.
And so, you know, I've got to try honour that without always challenging it. That doesn't mean I won't challenge.
Yeah.
But I've got to have a lot of wisdom when I challenge. Yeah. As you can imagine, I have to have a lot of wisdom when I challenge.
I think the other thing, though, as well, is that, you know, I'm in a stage and phase of life where I want to grow in my leadership. And so I've got to have people around me who I can be inspired by and aspire to be like.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had conversations with different people, you know, where I remember there was one person that said about when I was on the Lions program, who was your favourite speaker?
Oh, wow.
And I was thinking about all the different speakers we had and I thought, oh, actually, it's Gary.
And then she followed that with asking for a raise.
No, I didn't. but I think what I'm saying in that is that in that journey of growth for Alive and Alive coming under Imagine the Day, I've grown as a leader because I've got people, leaders around me who are further along than I am.
Yeah.
And actually that is priceless, like absolutely priceless, to be able to be around people like Gary and other people that we work with who are further ahead on that leadership journey.
Yeah.
That grows you as a leader. Mm. And if you want to grow an organisation or a business or a charity or a project, you have to have people around you that you can aspire to be like.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, where do you go in your personal leadership journey?
Mm.
You know, where do you go if you haven't got those people around you? So that's been a massive kind of part of that growth.
I think in a summary, you've got to manage yourself well.
Yeah.
You've got to manage your staff well.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to manage yours and your team's expectations.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And I know that, Gary, you oversee a lot of projects within your role as executive director, and you have gone through experiences where some leaders haven't done that. Mm. And you talk about cottage mentality. Just tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I think, it happens in the Lions program as well when people come, you know, they've got a big dream.
Yeah.
And we look at their thoughts of how they're going to achieve it. And it's kind of like a big dream needs a big strategy. And I think, especially in Christian circles sometimes, you know, we don't want to offend people. We want to be nice. And so we kind of get this big dream that we say is from God, which it may well be. But the issue is then people have such, I call it a cottage mentality, because it's like, you know, a big corporate trying to run as a small business ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And the same with a big dream. You've got to change it. And so I do meet quite a lot of people who are great people, who have a great dream, but they are going to fail miserably in the way they're looking at it. And then you start to challenge them, not on their, it's my statement, cottage mentality, but smaller thinking in strategy, and going, that small thinking in strategy is not going to match this big dream.
Yeah.
It's not going to get you there. Mm. You're going to build a small bridge to take over a ton weight and it's going to collapse.
Yeah.
And so I think the cottage mentality is trying to change people the way they think. and get them out of this, like, I don't want to offend anybody. Now, the point is, none of us want to offend anybody, but we're going to probably disappoint a few on the journey and not let that disappointment rule where we go. Mm. And I think the cottage mentality is, I have come across a lot of people and I've, you know, helped change some strategies and some structures in organisations so they can get there. But it's been painful for people. And it's and sometimes when you say things, they think, you know, you're the real evil one in the room, if I can put it, because why would you even say that? But we all don't see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And people who put their lives into dreams or their lives and never get there die sick. Mm. They die sick.
Yeah.
In their hearts, in their emotions, even in their perhaps relationship with God. You didn't take me there, God. No, we didn't take ourselves there.
Yeah.
And so we've got to cut off some of the small thinking, which is stinking, and get into some big thinking, which is going to actually get us to where we go. And so there is a lot, and unfortunately, in a lot of Christian circles, and then when we get corporate and business and people are like, oh, they're hard, they're tough. Well, they'd be bust.
Yeah.
They'd go broke if they didn't make decisions. But we don't seem to worry about that in Christian circles. And it may not be money we go broke with, but we can break people and break ourselves. And I just don't want hope deferred makes the heart sick. So changing structure, changing strategy is vital to a big dream. Move from the cottage mentality into bigger thinking.
Yeah, amazing. And Shell, you're the leader of the Lions, so you head up the whole project. How important is this in what you do? I mean, the Lions is a place where entrepreneurs can come and be on a program with us for 6 weekends away. How much of this do you teach in that course?
Oh, we teach loads on leadership. I mean, I think the first thing is that if you're with the Lions program, we always talk about how we don't want to be theorists, we're practitioners. You know, we want to be practicing what we're talking about. And so it's really important that as we teach people about leadership, that we're prepared to be on that leadership journey too, that we're growing as leaders. Because again, you can't take people where you haven't been yourself, or where you're not going yourself. And, you know, we talk a lot about the importance of character. We talk a lot about the importance of knowing yourself. So we do the Insights Discovery Program so that people have got a better idea of who they are, how they lead, what kind of people they need around them in order to grow something. We do lots of things about communication. You know, as a leader, you've got to be able to communicate your vision and your strategy and that growth. Like Gary said before, you've got to be able to communicate that to your team. So we do lots of stuff on communication and how you would communicate as a leader. And a lot about pioneering. You know, what makes up the spirit of a pioneer? You know, what are those key elements that kind of makes a person different because they're a pioneer or an entrepreneur to maybe people who aren't? Because I think you've got to have a really good understanding of yourself to be able to take people on that journey.
Yeah.
The tragedy to say, common sense ain't common no more. And self-awareness is diminishing fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
For all sorts of reasons I won't get into today. But if people come with a dream, both of those issues have got to be dealt with. Otherwise, the dream is a fantasy. And I don't want people spending their life on fantasy. I want them spending their life and sacrificing on a dream that's fulfilled. And so that's the realness of the Lions. That's why we do what we do. And that's why we want to cheer people on. We want to own nothing, but we do want to cheer people on and be a great springboard that people can reach what God's put in their hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know that people have to apply for the Lions, and, you know, you must get so many applications every year of different ideas, projects, visions. And I guess when you're looking through those applications, you're looking for where people can grow.
Yeah.
Where are the areas that they can grow? How can they make this bigger?
Yeah.
Is that a key factor to decide who gets on the course?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at the person more than we do about the project, but we want to know with the project and the idea that it's got legs, you know, that it can become something. But also we want to know that that person is teachable and willing to take themselves, allow themselves to go on a process where they discover more about themselves, they discover more about their project, they discover more about the future that God's got for them. You know, we don't want people coming to us who have got this nice, neat, gift-wrapped project that's all singing, all dancing, and they're already, because what can we bring to that? You know, we want people who want to take something to the next level. You know, we want to be able to release possibility, whether that's through mentoring, training, seed funding, you know, just Align's experience itself. We want to release that possibility. So we're absolutely looking for things that we can help to grow.
Amazing. So if you're an entrepreneur listening today and you want to find some growth and you want to get to the next level, should get in touch with the Lions and see whether you can get onto the course. Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been a brilliant session today, talking about growth and how to move forward. And we hope that you as an entrepreneur found it really inspiring and how to get to that next level and get to it in the right way and be ready for it as well. We'll see you on the next podcast. That's all from us today. See you soon. Bye.